You're listening to American Girl Women with Laura Treader and Lindsay Adams-Franca. This is a podcast where two millennial gals gather around the microphone and reminisce on the cultural phenomenon that took our childhood by storm, American Girl dolls. Contrary to what you might think, we aren't just talking about dolls here. We're diving into the high highs and the low lows of getting hooked on American Girl and all the childhood memories that come flooding back. So join us and a few special guests each week as we become American Girl women.
Today on American Girl Women, we are joined by Patricia Sears, the creative force and doll fashion designer behind 18 Cotton Lane. Patricia's path to American Girl was anything but typical. After a career in business administration and work as a financial analyst, plus 20 years as a stay-at-home mom, she found herself working at the American Girl Boutique inside Indigo, a large-scale Canadian bookstore chain. There, she trained in the salon, hosted parties and community events, and helped bring the magic of AG to Canadian fans. Patricia was then inspired to begin sewing clothing for American Girl dolls, and today, her shop is known for exquisitely crafted garments inspired by the 1920s through 1960s. We are so excited to learn more about Patricia's journey into the world of American Girl, her creative process, and passion. Patricia, welcome to AGW.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
And we are so excited to have you, Patricia. I feel like the gift of like the referrals from past guests just keep on giving. And Patricia was directly referred to us by Janine, who we just had on a couple months ago. So we're so thrilled to be able to get somebody else on the AG fam on the pod.
Janine's has been a huge help to me in something that a project I work on that was really close to my heart, which was doing a Girl Scout uniform for Kit, my Kit doll. And since she was an archivist for the Girl Scouts and followed me on Instagram, she saw that I was posting about making a uniform, and she sort of jumped in and just slid into my DMs with some great advice. We exchanged emails, a lot of information back and forth, and she was really, really instrumental in helping me create this uniform, which ended up being, I think, one of my most popular posts, if not the most popular post I've ever had on Instagram. It honestly had thousands of likes and views, so it really struck a chord, and I'm just so grateful to her for helping me do that.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Well, we are so grateful to her as well for connecting us. And we will definitely reshare that post because it is such a fun post and we want all of our followers to see as well. But yeah, absolutely adorable Girl Scout uniform that is so unique and has a special story behind it too. But I wonder if before we get into that specific project that you worked on, if right. we could talk a little bit about how you came to become a fan of AG, because it was kind of a little bit
it was late in my life.
I was
10 years ago, so I would have been 56 57 years old when I came into it, and it was through my work at the time. I was working at a bookstore in downtown Ottawa. I live in Ottawa, Canada, and the Indigo bookstore chain in Canada had a contract with American Girl to sell American Girl in Canada. And it was, I think, an 8-year contract, something like that. It started in 2014. I came to work at the store in Ottawa, downtown Ottawa, in 2015. And I was working just in the bookstore area, just like helping people find their favorite books and whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was an American Girl boutique on the second floor. So the arrangement with American Girl was that we would have actually small American Girl stores modeled on the big American ones in several locations across Canada. And my store was one of the locations. And when you walked onto the second floor of the bookstore, you would see the big entrance into the American Girl boutique, just done in the whole like pinks and purples, the way it is in the American stores. And it was like a little bit downsized experience, but we had a 3-chair salon. We had a piercing room in the back. We did, neck restringings. And anyway, I was working in the bookstore section, and the manager of the American Girl section came to me one day, and she said, "We have a lot of young staff working in American Girl. They're all great. They're wonderful. But we need someone in there who's a little bit more seasoned, let's say. Just a little more level. Like, there was a bit of drama. They should want someone in there who was just a little bit more sort of cool and on top of things. And she asked me if I was interested. Now, I was aware of the brand because I had been to Chicago with my husband on a number of occasions and shopping. You know, you can't miss the huge store in Chicago, right? And you go in, it's like, God, it's like, it was almost like going into a church. At that time, when you walked in to the store in Chicago, there was a series of like little pediments, and there was a doll on each pediment that was like lit from the top. It was almost like little statues of like saints in a church. You're walking in, and the lobby was huge, and it was such an impressive experience. I'm like, these dolls are incredible. But you know, my daughter was born in 1985, and we didn't have American Girl in Canada, obviously. And I had never experienced the brand with her as a child. So I was familiar with the brand when I was working at the bookstore. And then when I walked in and saw just how fun it was, like, you got to wear like a cute little black apron. And you know, it was the vibe was so fun. I love kids. And we had a lot of traffic through the store, a ton of traffic. It was very popular. And I just so kind of slid in and just made myself at home working there. I just had a ball. I was in charge of like events. So we had a lot more freedom to do special events at the bookstore and more than I think they had in the big American stores. So for instance, every day during school break, we would have yoga class. So it was called Downward Dog, and we would make our yoga mats. And one of the staff,
so cute.
One of the staff in AG who knew some yoga would like take like 15 girls and their dolls. We'd make the mats, and she would get down on the floor and do like yoga with our dolls. So the kids are like all bending their dolls into shape and doing yoga poses. So that would be like one day during March break, which is our school break. And then the next day it would be something else. It'd be like planting seeds. And I sat down at my sewing machine. I made like little gardening aprons, and every kid who came to the event got a little gardening apron, and we would like plant little seeds in a little pot and stuff. So every day we would plan an activity like that. And of course, Girl of the Year launches. We did huge Girl of the Year launches. We'd have like 75, 100 kids lined up to get into the bookstore on New Year's Day, which is the way they should do it. New Year's Day is
right.
I'm traditionalist that way. We had so much fun because we'd be up at all hours on New Year's Eve getting the store ready for the launch. And then New Year's Day, we'd open the doors at like 9 a.m. or whatever. And the parents are like hungover. The kids are like so excited. And we would just do fantastic launch events. For Blair's launch, I went to Costco, and I think I bought like every bouquet of flower that they had in Costco. And we did like flower arranging because Blair was sort of into the cottagecore flowers, you know, farm to table kind of thing. So we had so much fun playing events. That was just, I just loved it. And we had huge responses, big sign-up sheets, and it was all free. We always did it for free. And it was just a lot of fun. Anyway, that was my introduction to American Girl. So, you know, working there, of course, I'm like looking at the dolls and which one do I like and which one's sort of cute and calling to me. And I thought, Kit, you know, she's so cute, that little blonde bob, you know. And I've always been a short-haired girl since I was like a little girl. So she's got the short hair and she's so cute. And then you get into her story and you hear what she's gone through. And it kind of related to it because like my mom was born in 1929 in Toronto, which her family was very blue-collar, no money. And you know, so I could relate to it a little bit that way. And then I got to know Kit better reading her stories and thinking, you know, this girl kicks ass. You know, she's been through so much. There's so much trauma going on in her life, and she's just sort of making the best of it. But not, you know, because some people think of her as like a sort of sunshine girl, but she's not really. If you read her books, she's really pissed. Like, she's mad about what's going on. You know, her house being taken over by all these strangers. Like, who wants to live in a house with like 12, 14 strangers, right? She's mad about, you know, her dad losing his job, her brother can't go to university. Like, there's a lot just going on in her life.
Yeah.
And, I love how her books like bring that out. Like, she's really a well-rounded character with a lot of like emotional depth, and I really like that about her. So she became like my favorite. She's the doll I collect. Like I have just about her entire collection. I was thinking about it the other day if I had everything. The one thing I don't have is her waffle iron set. I think
Goodness. And that's so cute. It's very cute.
And I think it's quite expensive to but I think that's the one thing I'm missing. So I'll have to try and find that for her. So anyway, that's how I got into American Girl, just kind of a sideways through the bookstore, late in life, let's say.
Wow. Patricia. Yeah, that is so interesting. And honestly, we haven't connected with too many Canadian guests on our podcast. So hearing about the experience in Canada is quite interesting. I had no idea that these boutiques within the Indigo bookstores even existed. So that's fascinating.
Maybe Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, there might have been maybe 10, 12 stores across Canada. And they were there until I think 2021, I think might have been the end of the contract. And Indigo was also selling online, American Girl online, and they phased that out as well. And it's a shame because there were, you know, we don't have a huge American Girl collector community in Canada, but there was a significant number and really dedicated. Like the groups on Facebook, the Canadian ones that I belong to, I mean, it's funny because we all know each other and we all like sell to each other all the time. So, like getting rid of a doll, you know, I'll sell to someone in the group. And then like 8 months later, she's selling to someone else in the group. Like it's a very close knit group. It's kind of funny, but they are dedicated. You know, there are a lot of people who do love American Girl. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Were you or your daughters familiar with American Girl before you started working there?
Just from going to Chicago, visiting the store. My daughter was born in 85 and she had she was not a huge doll girl anyway. Mm-hmm. She was a horse girl. We had horses and that kept her busy. And Barbies, she did like Barbies. She was, you know, the golden age of like Disney Barbie tie-ins. So she was to like Little Mermaid and the Prince and you know Belle and the Beast. She had all those Barbies. That was her thing. And she's quite amused and very supportive right now. You know, she's a bit surprised about what's happened like the last you know, especially since I started sewing and making patterns, whatever, and turning it into a business. She's been quite interested and a little bit taken aback by what's happened. But you know, you never know where life is going to take you, right?
That's
like,
right.
If you had asked me like 10 years ago, would I be like on your podcast talking about sewing for dolls and designing dolls? I would have told you were crazy. I mean, I have a sewing machine, but I got it out like to make Halloween costumes for my kids when they were little,
or make
curtains or something. It's been a real trip, I have to say.
Wow, that's so interesting. Before we dive into your history with sewing a bit, going back to the store, first of all, those events sounded phenomenal and sounded
truly
great.
We had a great time.
Like you had a lot of flexibility.
We did have a lot of flexibility. Yeah, we did. Because the only person we reported to were the managers, and the managers wanted traffic in the store. That was the main thing.
Right.
So what could you do that would engage customers, get the kids in, get their parents in with their wallets, and drive traffic through the store? It didn't matter what area of the store you worked in, whether you were like, I don't know if you've ever been to an Indigo store. Indigo is like Barnes and Noble, but better. So you just like up the amp it up, Barnes and Noble. Like we have a lifestyle section. Indigo had a lot of different sort of interesting departments, lifestyle and kitchenalia and bridal and kids and baby. So the staff were always looking for ideas to like drive traffic through the store. And so I was given kind of free rein, like what can you come up with that we can announce, get people signing up for it. So we'd have a poster in the American Girl shop. You know, we're going to have like at one Mother's Day, we had, we brought in Mimi B on Instagram, who I got to know. She's the one actually who got me into Instagram. She's a photographer. And she came in one Mother's Day and we did mom and me and my doll photo sessions. So Mimi set up her photography equipment in our sort of staff room area. Lounge, and we had like a backdrop, and kids had signed up for this event, and they came in with their moms and their dolls, and some of them in matching outfits, so adorable. And they sat for pictures. And Mimi, she was so great about this. She's a wonderful person. She then emailed everybody their proofs. They could decide what photos they want. And that was
no charge.
We did that no charge. Yeah, it was just always trying to come up with something creative, you know, and it was a really, really good time. I had a great time there.
That's like a dream.
Awesome.
Yeah. But okay, people say, oh, you've worked for American Girl. Oh my God, you got to play with dolls all day. Okay. Cleaning is a huge part of working in American Girl. Cleaning dolls, cleaning shelves, sterilizing, because you got kids coming in. We had open displays, so kids could come in and touch. Yeah. Everything. It was constantly fixing displays, fixing hair. You know, somebody's in the wrong display. Somebody's in the wrong bed.
Yeah. Did you have like the full range of American Girl dolls with the historic, the create your own, Truly Me?
We did. We had the full Truly Me up on display. We had Samantha, Kit. We didn't have Molly because she wasn't. I don't think they were selling Molly at that time. This is like 2015 to 2021. I don't think we had Molly. I remember she's not historical, but Penny. Penny was huge. We had a big Penny display. And then we'd have, who else do we have? Nanea. We had her debut. We did a whole Polynesian, Hawaiian theme launch for when Nanea came to the store. That was a lot of fun. So we had quite a few of the historical girls. We had Rebecca, we had Julie, we had Melody, and we'd have a section for Girl of the Year as well. We had Tenny when she came out, and the Truly Me dolls. So it was like a bit smaller size experience compared to, say, going to like New York or Chicago, one of the big stores. Obviously, we only had like, I'm going to guess that the floor space was maybe, I'm going to say we had maybe 800 square feet. And we had a 3-seat salon chair set up, did a lot of hairstyling. I would do a hairstyle a month every year or every month. And kids would come in to get their girl styled with the month. And then we would have like free boy hairstyling. So when Logan came out, I had little boy come in. Can you do his hair like Justin Bieber?
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
So cute. Yeah, we had good times. We had Make-A-Wish came actually twice to the store. We closed the store down at night so could do a Make-A-Wish experience for a little girl who was not well. That was very memorable. So yeah, we really tried to make it special.
Wow, that's really incredible.
Yeah, that sounds so awesome. I think like the freedom of being able to go outside of the parameters of American Girl makes a huge difference. Because
and I've had people who work in the American stores. I've had quite a few follow me and we discussed it, and they wish that they had that same freedom. It's unfortunate.
Sure.
Because when you have really when you have staff who are inspired and really care, and you give them free rein to just explore their creativity, that enthusiasm transmits to the customer, right?
Totally.
Makes them enthusiastic about the brand, which is what you want. You want people to be excited to be there.
Yeah. No, totally. And something we've talked with a lot of our past guests that grew up with American Girl in like the 90s and maybe even early 2000s, we've talked about how back in those days, there were actually like a good amount of very like casually put together or like informal, not connected maybe directly with American Girl events. But we all, it seems like everybody's had an experience with like, you know, an event at a store that like has American Girl stuff or like a fashion show. Or like if you're me, my local town's historical society did a summer camp that was like American Girl themed. So I honestly think like that, the fact that so many people have had experience with like an American Girl themed event, even if it wasn't directly with the brand.
Right. Like at a library, a museum, anything like
that. Yeah. yeah, really speaks to like the potential and like the impact that those types of events have had. And yeah, sometimes you got to go off book a little bit to have something fun.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, what we would also love to get into with you is your history of sewing and how you sort of translated that to American Girl. Because, you know, it
sounds
like
another kind of just serendipity. Like I told you about Mimi, the photographer. So she's the one who got me onto Instagram, because Mimi came into the store in Ottawa one day with a friend, I think, and she had some dolls with her. And she asked me very nicely if she could put her dolls in the displays and take some pictures of them doing different things. And I'm like, okay. Because I was not aware of the adult doll collector community. And I wasn't on Instagram. I'd only been dealing with like kid customers.
Right.
And so Mimi came in with her friend and some dolls. And I said, sure, take some pictures. And I'm like, I'm curious. Who are you? And why are you doing this? And she said, well, I belong to this community on Instagram. I'm a photographer. And there's a lot of us adult collectors on Instagram. And we take pictures of our dolls. So she opened Instagram and she showed me some. And I'm floored. Like the dolls were like, she was photographing them like they were models in a magazine. You know, wearing trendy clothes and clothes that weren't necessarily American Girl. The dolls are beautiful. And I could see custom dolls. And so I was really intrigued. And like right then and there, like in the store, I opened my phone and she helped me start my first Instagram account. And the first thing I did was just like do stuff from the store. So if we had like a hairstyle of the month, I would do like a little Instagram video. So excited, put out there to like 30 followers that I had. And then I sort of learned about hashtags and just so mainly at first it was just things about the store. I started seeing things on Instagram, clothes that people had made. And I started to get intrigued because I had a sewing machine and I knew a little bit about sewing. And so then I started exploring Etsy and the world of like doll patterns and realized that there's a whole universe of creative people like creating things to sew for your doll. And I was really interested, especially the historical patterns. And I started following people on Instagram who design for historical dolls, like Elizabeth at Pemberley Threads, one of my favorite designers. She's amazing. And just started trying to do her patterns. Like at first I found them quite complicated. Like learning to sew for a doll is quite different. You're dealing with very tiny pieces, pattern pieces, very tiny, like quarter inch seam allowances. Whereas when you're sewing a clothing for a person, your seam allowance is like 5/8 inches. So everything's tinier. And it takes quite a bit of application and work and just patience to learn how to sew for a doll. But I think everybody should try it. I mean, I'm always encouraging people to, you know, people say, oh, I can't sew for my doll. I'm not talented. No, you just have to start. You just start, sit down and you like start with something simple. And I get messages all the time from people. What patterns do you recommend? I always send people to some basic patterns that are good for beginners that I learned on, and encourage people to just try, just be creative and just give it a try. And like everyone can sew. There's no such thing as can't. It's you won't. People say, I can't sew. No, you won't sew. Everyone can, just try it. So anyway, I started buying patterns, sewing just for my own dolls. I had Kit and I had maybe two or three other dolls. I just started sewing little outfits for them, thinking, oh, this is cute, and putting them on my Instagram. Well, then you get people saying, well, could you make that for me? Well, I don't have a shop or anything. Then I look into Etsy, starting a shop. You know, am I good enough to have a shop? Would I sell anything? But, you know, just, I'm the kind of person, I'm a risk taker, I guess. I just will try and see if it works. If it doesn't, that's okay. So I opened my first, my Etsy shop in May of 2019, May 1st. Mm-hmm. I think I had maybe 15 outfits and they were just like little I had like a little Molly dress. It was really cute, stripe, royal blue stripe. I sewed things for like the periods of time that appealed to me in fashion, which is 30s, 40s, 50s. That's my jam. I love that, those eras. And I sold out. And I'm like, whoa, now, can I do it again? Okay, start putting together another collection. And that sold out. And
wow,
started to just build it and build it and build it. And then people asking me, okay, would you do something special for me? Would you do a custom order? Yeah, I think I could do that. And I just sort of built from there. And it just became this journey. We got getting to know other sewists on Etsy and Instagram, getting to know them as friends, testing for them. That's a big part of what I do, is test for some designers like Elizabeth Pemberley Threads. I test for Michelle at Lemon Bay, who's an amazing historical designer. If you've ever seen her clothing, she's phenomenal. I test for a few designers, and that's also something that has taught me a lot, testing for other people, see how designers put things together.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what does testing entail exactly?
So the designer has a pattern, a draft pattern that she thinks is going to work, but she's, that's her design, right? So she's biased. She needs to bring in like outside observers, outside people to test this, actually test it. Is it going to work? Have you measured correctly? Do you have the right number of pieces? If you're using an inspiration photo, how close are you to that inspiration? What can we add or what can we take away that would make it better? Are your instructions clear? That's one of the big things when you're writing a pattern. I think I sent you a sample of one of my patterns. So you end up with 80 steps in a fairly simple dress, and every step is photographed. So are you explaining the steps correctly? So if this is a pattern aimed at, say, a confident beginner, which most of mine are, she'll know how to sew a simple seam, read a simple pattern. Are the instructions clear enough for her that she feels confident when she's working through the pattern that she's going to wind up with an end product that looks like the picture on the front of the pattern? That's what she wants. She wants that picture.
Right.
And how are you going to get her there? You know, are the steps going to take her there in a way that makes it enjoyable for her, takes away the stress, makes her feel at the end of the process, has she learned something new, which is always something I like to do. Have I taught you something new? Have you achieved your goal? Did you get the outfit that you wanted? Was it fun? Was it relaxing? Or are you stressed out about it? I want this to be fun. We're sewing for fun, right? And so in testing, you've got three or four people who are helping you achieve this. They're going to come back at you and say, well, I think you could have explained this better. Or your photographs here weren't that clear. Or I think on this pattern piece, you need to fix it a little bit and adjust it here. And that usually takes a couple of weeks. So it's a process. It's just, I have a great testing team. They are all designers. Most of them are all designers themselves. They take time out of their own Etsy businesses to help me, which I'm so thankful for, because they don't get anything out of it except I give them the pattern at the end of the day, right? The product, here's your pattern. Thank you so much. And I try and promote their stores on my Instagram. When I release my pattern, I'll have a special post for each tester showing what she made for me and directing people to her shop. So they do get some exposure that way. But that's what testing is all about.
Interesting. Wow. That's such a great like community focused experience then.
I find the sewing community for dolls very supportive of each other. I've never had a nasty interaction with anybody. Honestly, just really, really nice people, super, super talented people from all kinds of backgrounds, like people with art history backgrounds, with fashion history backgrounds, people with museum backgrounds. Like there's all kinds of people who are involved in creating for dolls. I find that really fascinating.
That is. Really. Now, Patricia, what's your creative process like when designing a new outfit or a new pattern?
I like to base my designs on actual patterns that from a time period. I get a lot of satisfaction from recreating a historical look. So I tend to go to old patterns, old sewing patterns, not for dolls, for people. Ooh. So I'm trying to translate a human garment into doll size, which is a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah.
It's not everything translates well to doll size. So there is a few sites on the internet to find vintage patterns. There's, the one I use the most is called Vintage Pattern Wiki, and it's just volunteers who upload. There are a lot of people who collect vintage patterns. It's a huge collector thing, and they upload photos of all of their vintage patterns to this wiki, and you can just go in and look at them and just, you know, you can search. I'll search for like 1930s suit or 1940s romper, and patterns will come up, and I'll have a look at the patterns and does something jump out of me that's really cute? Do I like the lines of it? Will it work for a doll? Would it work for a little girl? Because people, there's sort of two groups who sew. There's people who want their dolls to look like young women or like teens or women. And there are people who sew and want their dolls to look like little girls, like they 9 or 10 or whatever. So what age group will that pattern work for? I tend to go more for patterns for little girls. I don't age up my historical girls. My historical girls are like perpetually 9 or 10 or 11 years old. But I have done a couple of patterns that work for like quote adult dolls as well. So that's my big inspiration is sewing patterns. Cause I like when I'm finished with the pattern, I want it to look like, I want my doll wearing it to look like a person would have looked like wearing that in 1944 or whatever. I don't want her to look like a doll wearing a doll dress. I want her to look like a little girl in 1944 wearing a dress that's meant for a little girl. That's my aim.
Which I think that's very authentic to like original American Girl essence too, because mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the original clothes really evoke
yes.
a very accurate.
They look like, yeah, they look like real people's clothing.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
right.
That's sort of my aim too. I do appreciate that about the clothes.
Yeah, sounds like. Oh, go on, Laura.
Oh, I was gonna say, do you have a favorite thing that you've ever created?
Well, for Kit, every year I'd make something special for her birthday because she's the only doll I collect. And I've made some pretty amazing things for her. I made her an Amelia Earhart aviator outfit with a leather sheepskin jacket, helmet, goggles, the whole nine yards. That was a few years back. And then this year I made the Girl Scout uniform with Janine's help from an actual, I made it using fabric from an actual 1930s Girl Scout uniform that I found on eBay. Those are the things that have been most meaningful to me because of the research and the work that I put into them and the fact that I didn't make them to sell. I made them for me and my pleasure, mm-hmm. right? And the joy that I got out of it. Things I've made for customers, I've made some beautiful things that I didn't want to sell, but I always end up selling because everything that I make, I would have no room. Like I've made probably 2,000 outfits.
Wow.
Ranging from dresses to like full scale 18th century hats, gowns, the whole thing.
Oh,
the one that stands out in the last couple of years, I made, do you know the movie Dangerous Liaison with Glenn Close?
Yeah. Yes.
There's a scene in that movie where she steps out of a coach and she's wearing a black and gold traveling outfit with an amazing black hat. And the jacket of this traveling outfit is a gold and cream damask with black details. And I reproduce that in doll size.
Wow.
It was a lot of work. It turned out spectacular. I have to say, sorry. It was spectacular. And it went to a very, very appreciative customer. It was one that I was tempted to keep myself, but you know, it go forth into the world and spread joy, right? Someone else
yes.
is enjoying it, that in their doll collection, right?
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at the pictures from your Instagram of the inspo, and that is so iconic. And I think it's just so awesome, you know, when you have this skill that you really can create almost anything. As long as you can translate it.
What it is, though, it's practice. I started sewing very, very simple skirts, dresses, blouses, very simple.
Yeah.
And it's just repetition, practice, right. practice. And when you do enough practice, like, you know, what gets you to Carnegie Hall, right? Practice. Right.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
So, you know, I always tell people, just if you want to start sewing for dolls, don't be intimidated. Just start with something simple and just go for it and just enjoy it and don't stress about it. Right. People have this, I think one of the problems, I don't know, these days is people are like, well, how can I monetize this? Right. Mm. They don't want to start a new hobby unless they can somehow figure out a way to monetize it and become an influencer or whatever. And I think that's taking some of the joy out of the creative process. Like,
sure.
You know, if try it and if it doesn't work out, put it down and try something else. Like, I came from a family of people who were really kind of weirdly creative. My dad was into winemaking, beer making, photography, bread making, woodworking. He was a ham radio operator. Like, there was always something going on. And everybody in my family was like that.
Yeah.
My mother had all kinds of hobbies. Like, we were just like, pick something up that interests you, go with it, run with it, see if you love it, and then move on to the next thing, right? And I'm that way with when people ask me about sewing for dolls, I'm like, just, I can direct you to some good basic patterns. I can recommend some sewing, if you want to do online sewing courses, Pixie Fair, which who publishes my patterns for me, have wonderful sewing courses for all levels. I took so many of their courses before I felt confident enough to start selling my sewing. YouTube full of sewing tutorials. It's out there. The knowledge is out there and people are willing to share. Like, I know so many people that I could just message them and say, can you help me with this? Like, how do I do this? And I find that in the Instagram community, everybody wants, will help you. If you reach out, I'm having trouble, or I've got this pattern, I don't know what they mean by this. Like, people reach out, people will help you. It's a very helpful community. And that's how we like learn and support each other.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Patricia, have you ever made an adult size or maybe like a children's size version of any of your designs?
No, I've gotten asked that though. I've been asked actually to make a little girl, a customer who had bought a dress that I made. She wanted me to make one for her daughter, so her daughter would have a matching, you know, doll and me outfit.
Yeah.
Which I think is an adorable idea. I just love that idea. But I'm not a very good seamstress when it comes to people clothing. I've made things like, I've done Halloween costumes for my kids when they were little. I've made the odd garment. And of course, like, any woman my age, we all took home ec in high school. Everybody did. You had to make that skirt or whatever, you know, that skirt or dress that you never wore again. Like, so I know how to sew and I know how to read a pattern for an adult, but it's just not my thing. I'm going to stick with the dolls. They don't complain. You can stick them with a pin. They don't cry.
Oh my God.
I'm going to stick with the 18-inch vinyl customers.
Fair enough. Well, Lindsay, shall we get into our final wrap up?
Yeah, I have one quick question before we get into it. Patricia, what are you currently working on with either a design or a pattern? What's next for you?
I'm in the middle of testing right now. I just sent out for testing this week a 1944 holiday dress. It's inspired by a Simplicity pattern from 1944. It's a very sweet little dress with some cute details on it. It's got a tulip sleeve. Do you know what a tulip sleeve is? It's like petals overlaying each other. So it's got a tulip sleeve. It's got a really pretty little sweetheart neckline. And I made up some samples and put them on my Nenea and my Emily doll. And they look adorable in them. So I'm in the middle of that pattern. My testers have it at the moment. I'm hoping to get that back from the testers maybe by the weekend and hopefully off to Pixie Fair for publishing next week. And it's called, I give my pattern names always start with let's do something. Let's have a tea party. That's my thing. And this pattern is called Let's Send Our Love. And because it's from 1944, I was thinking about what's going on at Christmas time, 1944. Mm. People are like writing to their relatives who are serving overseas, sending cards and letters. So I am collaborating with a lady from Instagram called Little Beth Miniatures. She helped me with an earlier pattern called Let's Plant a Victory Garden. And she designed some printables, little seed packet printables that came with my pattern. And that pattern just, the sales were, and people loved that pattern and they loved printables. So I went back to Beth last week and said, can you design for me little vintage Christmas cards? Something that someone in 1944 would have received in the mail. And can you do, I mean, a sheet of printables with like three Christmas cards, three Hanukkah cards, three seasonal, like season's greeting type cards, make a printable for me to include with this pattern. So people can like make the Christmas dress or the Hanukkah dress from this pattern for their doll. And then their doll can send and receive these little greeting cards for the season. And people just love these little doll sized treats, you know, And that's going to be coming out hopefully, let's say, maybe by the end of next week. And it's called Let's Send Our Love.
Oh, oh my goodness. That's cute. Perfect before the holidays. That is sweet.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And now, Patricia, do you have any like dream projects that you might not have tackled just yet, but want to create?
You know, I have Kit's treehouse, right? But the treehouse that she wants, like if you read her book, she describes in her that the treehouse she really wants is like a Robin Hood type treehouse, right? She loves Robin Hood, the story of Robin Hood. And in one of her books, she's talking about seeing in a magazine a child in Hollywood, some like child of an actress or famous actor, having a birthday party that's Robin Hood themed. And they had built this huge treehouse in the garden of this Beverly Hills mansion or whatever for this party, for this kid's party. And Kit's like, Ruthie, oh my gosh, I would love to have a treehouse like this. You know, it had nets and ropes to climb on and levels. And of course, when her dad actually gets around to building her treehouse, she's a little, you know, she says, I'm a little bit disappointed. It's like really simple because they didn't have money for all the lumber. Her treehouse is very simple. And my God, like I know nothing about woodworking, but I would love to make Kit like the treehouse of her dreams. That would be, and that's not to do with sewing. That's just me indulging my Kit. So
I love that.
So awesome. That's really, really cool.
Right. Give Kit that dream house, dream tree house.
Exactly.
That is so sweet. Oh my goodness. Well, Patricia, we love to ask all of our guests that join us on American Girl Women a question. And we'd love to hear your perspective on what lasting impression did American Girl leave on you?
I love the how well-rounded the girl characters are. Like their adventures, their the things they're going through, the drama, the trauma, the happy times, the sad times, they're just a really well-rounded reflection of girls' experiences at any kind of, in any era, right?
Yeah.
The authors of the books have done really good job, I think. Just really relatable characters, very human, with quirks and, you know, they're not always happy. They're going through some hard times, whatever, and just really well-rounded. I just appreciate that about American Girl. I find that very attractive. It reminds me of some of the best children's literature. You know, you think of like, Little Princess, like famous children's fiction, right? Where the characters are like well-rounded and bring you into the story and make you feel what they're going through. And I find the American Girl authors, for the most part, I think do that really, really well. I think the stories are great. The other thing I appreciate is just the creativity that's brought to my life, which is something I didn't expect this stage in my life to have this whole thing opened up to me. And I just appreciate this. It's been just such a fun ride. I just love every minute of it.
Absolutely. Well, those are both great lasting impressions. And I think that the characters that American Girl has brought to life, it wouldn't be the same impact if, you know, they were just like Barbie, or which Barbie has like a story and a characterization to an extent, but not on the level American Girl does. And not, I don't think, as maybe relatable to telling like a normal average person during the time period story.
And I think this is, I think there is some anxiety right now that I feel from the community that things are sort of slipping a certain way with, say for the girl, with the girls of the year, though Raquel, the new girl of the year, I think they've really been bang on with her story and her background. Her collection is phenomenal. She's, you know, really, she's interesting. So I think that helps alleviate some of this anxiety I feel a little bit from people talking about where American Girl's been heading lately. The new Welly Wisher dolls have caused quite a bit of consternation. I think people are not happy with where that's going. The way those dolls look, they're not little girls. They're teenagers, really. So it's really interesting to see this company sort of try and figure things out. You know, this is a hard time for toy companies, right? This is really hard time. And they're trying to navigate their way. And I have to give them, you know, kudos for the new girl of the year. I think they did a really good job with her. Let's see where they go.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. We'll see where American Girl goes. We'll see where all of us go. Patricia, I love your story of, you know, a decade ago, who knew you would be where you are right now?
You have to be open to whatever life brings you, right?
Exactly.
It's not great. Sometimes it's fantastic. Just, you know, be open to opportunity and always looking for like, just be open to new experience, I think. Just, and it was something my mother always used to say, is always be learning. You know, if you stop learning, your brain, what does your brain have to do if you stop learning? It has nothing to do. So you just always be open to new experiences and new ways of expressing yourself and creating and sending good stuff out into the world.
Absolutely. I love that. I love it too. So awesome.
Oh my goodness. Now, Patricia, if you were an American Girl doll and you came with your three meat accessories, what would they be?
Okay. So I thought about this. First of all, my iPad. Okay.
Yes.
I'm a huge consumer of journalism, which is another reason why I love Kit. I'm a huge fan of journalists and journalism. So my iPad is loaded with like every newspaper subscription, and also the New York Times games app. My husband and I do the games every morning. I'm the queen of connections. He's the king of the spelling bee. So I would have, my doll would have an iPad that's fully loaded.
The other love thing that. Would,
the second thing would be a Vespa electric scooter. I was in Rome with my daughter many years ago, and I was so impressed by these Roman women riding their Vespa scooters to work in their high heels, okay, in their suits, in their dresses, riding through the Roman traffic on their Vespas. And the Vespas were such cute colors. And I've, ever since then, I've wanted to have a Vespa, and I keep getting talked out of it by my husband. But my doll, the doll version of me, would have a Vespa. And of course, because I want to be kind to the planet, it's the new electric version of the Vespa.
Nice.
That's my second accessory.
Amazing.
And then my third accessory, of course, would be a mini Kit.
Yes.
Because Kit's my girl. Now, mind you, it would be a little, I'm not a huge fan of the Kit mini sculpt, so it would be like a little bit improved. I think I would have to work with a developer and do like a little bit better Kit sculpt. I don't like her sculpt in the mini version, but I would, of course, have my mini Kit, of course.
And what would your mini Kit be wearing?
Great question.
Yeah. I have ideas about a meat outfit. Kit wears a lot of pink in her collection, and we know that she hates pink. So, like, okay, her iconic meat outfit is, well, sort of on the more of the lilac side of pink, but it's still too pink for me. So I think I would put Kit where she's most comfortable, which is in some overalls.
Yes.
So cute.
Yeah, so cute. I love her in overalls. I love all her overall outfits that come in her official collection, but I think I would put her in some kind of cute little mini overalls. And of course, a shirt made from Feedsack.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Has to be the authenticity. Those are such great answers. And I love the Vespa one, especially. I think that's such a fun accessory to have. Right? Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'd probably have to have a little basket on the front of the Vespa for the kit doll to ride in.
Right? Yes, exactly. We can fit all of these things and in my the basket. And yes.
I'm set.
Exactly. So cute. Exactly. Well, Patricia, this has been so lovely. We could literally speak to you for hours on end.
Anytime. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
We appreciate you sharing your work with the AG community and taking some time to chat through your origins with us. It's such an inspiring story. Like you were saying, you're a lifelong learner. We should all be lifelong learners, honestly.
Absolutely.
And Patricia, where can everybody find you after this and your work?
Right. So I'm on Instagram at PatriciaSears1958. On Etsy, my shop is called 18 Cotton Lane, 18 spelled out. And at the moment, it's on vacation because I'm trying to work through the whole Trump tariff situation, which has brought most Etsy businesses outside of the U.S. to a halt at the moment. But I'm optimistic this will pass. But anyway, at the moment, my shop is on holiday. And my patterns are available at pixiefair.com. in the 18 Cotton Lane storefront at Pixie Fair.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Patricia, thank you so much again for joining us.
It's been such a pleasure. You two are just lovely, and I've just enjoyed every minute of this.
As have we. Well, yes. Thank you so, so much, Patricia. And thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you for listening to American Girl Women. For more AG Women content, follow us on IG at American Girl Women or send us your American Girl stories via AmericanGirlWomen@gmail.com. We might just read them on the pod. If you like this podcast, tell your friends and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.